Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. It is time for kickoff. Our and Super Bowl champ, James Jones. You got Joy Taylor, what's the one and only, the brilliant one. Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. But Shady, I was shocked when I saw our former teammate, Eagles star defensive end, Brandon Graham. He said something this morning that appalled me when I read the words. It was simple. He said this: I love that we got whooped. I love that we just got whooped because we've been getting away with stuff. And we've been talking about it, and we always address those things, but it caught up to us this week. I just know I love this team. BG saying, I love that got whooped. Now, look, here on this show, I'm not yet over the whooping that the Niners handed down to the Philadelphia Eagles. Second biggest loss of Nick Sirianni's career, and it's the biggest loss of Sirianni's career when he starts his starting quarterback. So this butt whooping, it reverberates through Lincoln Financial Field. I'll tell you that much. Shady, let me tell you this. The Eagles should be concerned.
Oh.
Dare I say the Eagles should be panicked. The reason is, when a team gets beat down, you already know, we all know, it's a copycat league. So until you prove that you have addressed your errors, until you prove you've addressed your deficiencies, you might get beat again the exact same way. Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday. We all gonna be watching. But what I was thinking about this morning, y'all realize that the Cowboys, from a personnel perspective, offensively, very much so match up to what the Niners and who the Niners are. CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel. Very shifty as a wide receiver position, can put him in the backfield. Tony Pollard, he has wide receiver experience similar to Christian McCaffrey. Jake Ferguson, he is not George Kittle, but right now he has 5 receiving touchdowns. When I think about Brandon Ayuk and Brandon Cooks, not even thinking about the Brandons of it all, Brandon Cooks, a 6-time 1,000-yard receiver with, I believe, 4 different quarterbacks. When I think about what ability the Cowboys have to try to do the same thing to the Eagles, it leads me to believe maybe, just maybe, the Eagles have some concerns. The Eagles should be panicked until they prove to themselves, first and foremost, and then they prove to us and you as the Eagles' all-time rushing leader that they have fixed their issues. But do you think the Eagles should be panicked?
No, we shouldn't panic. We lost a game, right? When you go into look at the records, they're going to show wins and losses. They don't show no points. We lost. We lost the game. And the beauty of this whole thing is we're still number one in our division and number one in the NFC. Why are we panicking? We got a MVP candidate, Jalen Hurts.
Yes, sir.
A leader as a quarterback. And then it's stuff like that where Brandon Graham said, I don't know if you remember when we talked about the Niners game. And I said, you know what? This might be a blessing, getting beat like that. Because now other teams may not can deal with getting a loss like that. But when you have a team that's built with veterans, with experience, with Super Bowl champions on that team. On this team right here alone, we have a lot of Super Bowl champions on that team from 2017.
Yes, sir.
We have a lot of them. So dudes like Brandon Graham, he's a leader. When he speaks out, he means it. Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, right? Kelsey,
yes,
Jason
Kelsey.
So when I look at how you lose, that's one part of it. How do you respond? And then where you respond, not just the way you play. It's how you practice. It's things like bringing up the way that they ran the ball on the Eagles. The way that we went tackling in the secondary. All those type of things, when you have a veteran team, you speak about it. And I'd be damned if this team does not respond. That's who we are. Philadelphia is made on guys getting knocked down and getting back up.
Talk about it.
Rocky Balboa, he's real in Philadelphia.
Talk about it.
On a serious note, the reason why we all love Jalen Hurts, it ain't always about his attributes, right? I'm sure there's other quarterbacks that we may love some of their attributes. The one thing about Jalen Hurts we love is that heart, is that leadership. And that trickles down all the way to all the other veteran players we have. So when you ask me, are we panicking? No. When you got leadership and experience on that team, we're going to be fine.
Well said.
And we're going to Dallas. That's how you bounce back. You can't bounce back at home. Nah, we cool. We're going to take this show on the road to the Dallas Stadium.
Yeah.
Get a big win there with the so-called MVP and all them boys.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to be loving us again. You and you're going to be loving us again.
Possibly.
See y'all Monday morning.
You know, my answer I had circled was no.
If y'all are not tracking James's circles, producers,
we gonna take his paper. We gonna take his paper.
I had circle, G. My answer that I had circle was no until I heard that tweet and seen that tweet. Because for me, that screams false confidence. That's what that screams to me. And the reason why I say that is because they didn't play bad. You just got beat down.
We played bad.
It's not like it was bust assignments. It's not like Jalen Hurts got sacked 15 times. It's not like you turned the ball over. It's not like you fumbled. You just ran into a team on that Sunday that was clearly better than you and beat you down. To come out and say it finally caught up with us, this wasn't one of those games to where you guys are turning the ball over, Jalen Hurts throwing picks, or the defense, you know, giving up a bunch. This wasn't that. This was clearly, we are better than you right now in this level of the football season for the San Francisco 49ers. So for him to say that it finally caught up to us, what? Like, you ain't been playing well all season, but at least the previous games before the Niners, we can say, man, they got to stop turning the ball over. Man, they had three busted coverages. Man, they didn't get no pressure on the goal. Like, none of that stuff happened. Like, this was a solid football game for both teams. The Niners just beat them down. So to turn on the tape and then you come out and say that tweet, for me, this is false confidence going into this game. And I'm panicking because you are going to play another really good football team that has won 14 straight at home with the MVP candidate. And if you lose this one, we all need to have panic buttons up here because the Eagles have not played good football all season. And then you got your leaders coming out saying this. That screams false confidence to me. That screams a little panic in that locker room to me, Joy Taylor.
If the Eagles beat the Cowboys 20-17 this weekend,
No panic buttons.
No panics.
To me, depends how, but I don't want to interrupt your
2017.
Yeah. Depends how. Like what?
How they look.
Yeah.
Even if they win, it's still a panic?
Depends how, but I don't want to interrupt your take. I'll explain later.
No, like they play like kind of good, and in the end, they win the game.
I have too much to say. I genuinely don't want to interrupt your take.
Okay, I'm saying panic over one week. When all season long, we've seen that San Francisco has done this to a lot of good teams. Mm-hmm. And really a lot of other good teams haven't done this to other good teams. So this is like a San Francisco problem. Mm-hmm. San Francisco is the one that's whooping on other good teams. Now, good teams are whooping on lesser teams, mm-hmm. but we're not seeing a lot of head-to-head mm-hmm. battles that are blowouts unless it involves the San Francisco 49ers. So for me to say panic, I'll start panicking when this becomes a trend. Like Shady said, it's one loss. Was it a bad loss? Absolutely.
It was.
But it doesn't count as like more of a bad loss because of how bad it was. There are blowouts by good teams every single year. We can go back in the history books and look. We don't have time. I want to bore everybody. Just take my word for it. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. It happens. Good teams lose badly, and they tend to lose badly to other good teams who are able to take advantage of them not playing at the highest level. What I think he's talking about is the thing that we've been talking about with the Eagles all season long, is they've been getting away with not putting their foot down. They've been finding ways to win games, which is a reflection of maturity and leadership and making the plays at the end of the game, but they've not been winning convincingly. They've not been winning with flair. They've not been putting their foot down. And when you run up against a team like San Francisco, that ain't going to work. I firmly believe this game plan changes if they go up 14-0, like they should have. Like, you want to talk about them not doing their job. They didn't do their job. They got to the red zone twice, came out with 6 points. It's unacceptable
early in the game
against a team like San Francisco when you know you need to put pressure on their young quarterback. So I can't say panic because, again, they have too much equity. Again, the Cowboys got beat down by the San Francisco 49ers team. Mm. They looked bad. They were talking about how humbling of a loss it was. And what did they do the very next week? They beat the Chargers 20-17. It wasn't some spectacular performance, but they won. Were we panicked about them then? Maybe we did. Maybe
no,
we did a segment about panicking about the Cowboys.
Niners game playing really good football. I think the panic sits in because the Philadelphia Eagles
isn't that
all
worse?
Season long have not been playing.
Isn't that worse?
I mean, it's a lot of flip-flop.
to me, that's worse.
Well, I mean, it's,
but I'm not trying to make this a Cowboys Eagles thing. I'm just saying the Niners have been doing this to everybody. So how you answer this week is what will determine where the Eagles really are for me. If the Eagles go out and play a really good game and lose to the Cowboys, or they go out and play a terrible game and get blown out, or if they, however this game plays out, will determine it for me. Because the Niners been doing this to everybody. And if we're going to keep this energy for the Eagles, let's keep it for everybody who got blown out by the Niners, which I don't think we're doing.
No. But the reason I'm highly panicked and shady, it's not highly panicked. The reason I'm concerned, and it's borderline panic, is you have to stop the bleeding. I mean, use that phrase a lot in sports, but I'll ask for you all's help to really explain to the viewer what I mean. Shady, when you're on offense, if a team you see week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7, or week 8, if they run a zero blitz against you, mm-hmm. and the whole game you can't stop it, mm-hmm. well, what are y'all working on Monday and on Tuesday?
Zero blitz.
No doubt. All you're doing, Shady's yeah. coming to practice, walk through, they running zero blitz. Right. They're walking through the zero blitz because they couldn't stop it.
Right.
Now, you don't know if you actually can stop it until the following week when you get zero blitz. Zero blitz, for those at home, is when you run an all-out pressure. There is no safety help. Everybody's right. playing man-to-man. You don't know if you can stop it until you see it again.
Sir. Okay.
And when you see it again, do you beat it mm-hmm. or does it beat you? Mm-hmm. The reason I didn't want to interrupt your question, Joy, is because regardless of the outcome of the game, Cowboys-Eagles, I'm going to be wondering, how are the Eagles linebackers addressing the issues that the Niners presented? Darius Leonard, it's going to be his first time starting. We assume he's going to start. How's he addressing it? If they keep number 41 Morrow as the starter, how's he addressing it? Darius Slay has gone to Twitter because he got called out by a former Eagles player. Now in radio saying the DBs didn't want to tackle.
Yeah.
How many yak yards is CeeDee Lamb going to get? Mm. Jake Ferguson, is he going to get busy going across the middle? So to me, not only do I want to see the Eagles win, I really want to see the Eagles atone for some of the errors that were glaring in the game against the Niners. That's where my panic lies. Not so much who's going to win, who's going to lose, but have you fixed your issues?
So first of all, I think that the Cowboys and the Niners are two different teams, right? Mm-hmm. One team plays with super bully ball, not talking about actually doing it. I don't see the Cowboys as a straight bully team like that. I think they're a talented group. Another thing is, I went back and watched last year's playoff game against the Eagles versus the Niners. Just to see, like, what really happened here? Like, it was a way different story, even though I'm talking about this all on offense for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because Purdy was hurt, so I didn't look at their mm-hmm. offense. Mm-hmm. So I'm strictly talking about the offense for the Eagles against the Niners defense. Mm-hmm. And watching this year, or watching this year's game against them, they dominated the Eagles up front.
Yes, they did.
Right? But when they played last year, they didn't dominate them like this. So when I'm looking at it, they made plays but wasn't as dominant. So when you ask me, how can you correct it? We talk about panicking. Well, it's easy. Certain things is about holding down different gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Having that ass let us, you not running this ball. And I seen them do it. I seen the corners coming up making tackles, right? Even the play McCaffrey shook Slay and scored.
Mm-hmm. Last year.
Yeah, but you coming up to pursue that, though. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, 9 times out of 10, running back should make the cornerback miss, but the effort to come up there and make that tackle. This year, I didn't see the effort.
Yeah.
When I watched the Eagles versus Niners, I didn't see no effort from the Eagles. And I'm not used to seeing that. Nick Sirianni, that's one thing I can say about him, where his teams, they're well coached. But they play with heart and attitude, and they play with effort.
No doubt.
So when you ask about the small things to change, yeah. I would love to change the two drives they had in the first quarter to score on them, instead of getting 3.
No doubt.
But things that you really can change is that effort and that attitude.
Yep. I like it. You need to be in the team meeting, man. Go back in there.
Hey, man, listen, man. You're
just spitting. They need a little bit of that Shady energy.
Come on now.
But for me, what game this season has the Philadelphia Eagles, from your point of view, from top to bottom, played a really good football game where you walked out and said, we're getting back to our mojo?
What game this year?
Yeah.
I can't. It's not.
See? And that's my thing.
But it's not a particular game.
Yeah.
But that's cool to say that.
I know.
But my thing is, there's teams that play great.
No doubt.
And they still
lose.
No doubt.
They still lose.
For me,
okay,
I think the winning is covering up a lot of stuff. And now that they lost, it's starting to bring out a lot of stuff. And the reason why I say that, we in week, what, 14?
14 going into it.
We're going into week 14. Week 1, we said the Philadelphia Eagles ain't look like they were supposed to look. Week 2, we said they ain't look like they supposed to look. Week 7, we said the same thing. Week 13, we said the same thing, right? This might be who they are. And it sucks to say it because they have a bunch of talent over there, but you can't tell me after 13 weeks you just clicking a button to say we finna play the way we supposed to be looking. That's why it's panic time. Right? You got only reason why you guys are coming out saying this right now is because you lost badly. But you've been looking like this all year long, but you just made one more play than the other team, finding ways to win. So for me, if this is who you are for 13 straight weeks, not playing consistent football, but finding ways to win, this is who you are. Boom, I pass it to you.
I got one question, though.
Go ahead.
Name me another team that's been playing great all year. I'm waiting.
It ain't even got to be all year. You couldn't pick one game. The Dallas Cowboys, the Niners, the Ravens have dominated teams from first quarter to fourth quarter.
There's only been one team playing this year, since you're talking like that, that's been solid on offense and defense.
I disagree. The Ravens have played really, really well. The Cowboys have played really, really well.
I think the Ravens are the second best team in football.
Yeah.
Right? And so the Eagles get their thing together. But it's been more defense and offense here and there. It's been more defense. The Niners give you that effort and that crazy work on defense and offense. That's the only team. Even the Cowboys,
Shady,
to put them in that category, I can't because they've been beating regular teams.
The Ravens destroyed the Lions. They near 40 points. They destroyed the Seahawks at home. I'm saying there's games that they have played from one quarter to fourth quarter.
We still came on the show and had a segment about who we giving more credit to, Lamar or the Ravens. Defense. So I hear you. It's not pretty. But if we're saying this is who the Eagles are, so then they're the best team in the NFC, they have the best record in the NFC and are still winning the division, that's who they are?
Yeah, right. Only one team with 10 wins.
That's what's confusing to me. I understand that we want things to look a certain way. And I guess my pushback on the Cowboys is, and again, maybe they will do it this weekend. I don't know. I don't know because the Cowboys have beaten the Seahawks. That's the best win they've had this season. By that, I mean that's the best team they've beaten this season. Mm. That's just what it is. Is that an opinion or is that a fact?
That's a fact.
That is the best team they'd be in the season. So when you're talking about the Cowboys can exploit the Eagles the way that the Niners can, I haven't seen them do that to anyone of the Eagles' level. Maybe they can. Maybe it is a copycat league. Maybe the Cowboys can. We'll find out this weekend. But we're basing that solely on predictions because we have no evidence this year that that's possible.
I would say we do.
Against who?
The Eagles.
Yeah.
Remember, Dak Prescott.
But they lost.
Correct. And that's the dilemma. That's why we're having this conversation. Because what Brandon Graham said was, we've been getting away with it because we're winning. But, so you're right. But remember, in that game, the Cowboys had 405 yards of total offense. Dak Prescott, I believe, had 373 passing yards, 374, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Eagles played a terrible defensive game by their own metrics and standards. 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dak Prescott had no picks. But you're right. But they lost.
But so they didn't exploit anything. Because if you exploited it, you win.
That's different. Speaking from your experience,
that helps for Dak Prescott's MVP
argument. No, what it does
argument.
Is this. What it does is this: is it makes Shady go back into the film room. It makes James. It makes you. It makes me go back into the film room and say, "Hey, we got away with this one, but we better get this fixed."
Yeah.
So exploiting doesn't necessarily mean you win. Exploiting means we identified the deficiency. Now can we capitalize on the deficiency so much so that we do win? Because I think the Eagles have gotten away with
but
it.
But they
all
haven't done it yet. Like you, cool, cute. You did all that. You lost. So all that work, all that hard work, all that film, all that, we're going to take advantage of this for what? Because you still took the L the same way that you took the L against the Niners, because they all count for the same. So when I'm saying that they haven't done it yet, they haven't done it to success. It is a zero-sum game here. Did you win? Did you lose?
Right. And another thing is, as much as we killing the Eagles because they had a terrible loss to the Niners, it's like, let's not forget what we've done this year, though. We've beat the Chiefs, who we think is a really, really good team. We've beat the Dolphins, who we think is a really, really good team.
The Bills.
We've beat the Bills, who we think is a really, really good, as a solid team. Not a good, but a solid team.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys. So it's like, as much as you want to make it like we're this and we're that because we had a bad loss to the Niners, we beat these good teams.
Well, no.
And everybody I talked about is a Super Bowl contender other than the Bills.
Correct.
Would you agree?
To me, it's not that the Eagles had a bad loss. I go beneath that layer. I don't care that you had a bad loss. A lot of teams have bad losses.
Everybody loses.
Last year, the Chiefs lost to the Colts.
Yeah.
Right.
But then when we saw the Chiefs lose to the Colts, we said, wait a second. Sky Moore dropped a punt. Darnell, help me if I'm wrong. Sky Moore dropped a punt, and then Chris Jones gets a PI that was like a questionable PI.
Right. Huh?
So you look at that loss, and you're like, come on, man.
But that's not everything. Okay. In 2020, when I won a championship with the Bucks, we got smoked by the Saints.
38-3. So, but the point I'm making is I'm wondering the how. So when I see that the Eagles lost, like if I were to say that the Niners lost to the Bengals, to the Vikings, to the Browns, I could tell you the how.
Yeah.
And we could correct the how.
When we talk about the Jags lost yesterday to the Bengals, we can tell you the how, and we can correct the how.
What if there's no how? We got beat. But a better team beat us.
I live differently than you. To me as a football player, there always had to be a how. Yeah. I wasn't as talented as you. So I couldn't just go out on the field and say, I'm just going to beat this dude. I had to figure out how can I beat this dude.
So
there's always a how for me.
It's always a how to win a game or how we lost.
Yes. In my experience, there's always a how.
So another team that's played better than we did, That never just surfaced.
It happens. But it does happen. But the question is, like, why? For example, like, the Eagles didn't just lose, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The Eagles lost because the linebackers couldn't identify who was going to be number three in fire zone. The Eagles lost because the defensive backs didn't come up well enough and make tackles.
Okay.
The Eagles lost because Tre'Davious Ward shadowed A.J. Brown this year, unlike last year, and the Eagles didn't have a plan to free up A.J. Brown. To me, there is always a reason. It's not just you lost because you lost. There's always a how.
But you're right. There is a how. Like, we watched the tape. This happened. You should have did this better. I agree with all that. But what I'm saying is when you look at the way we lost the game, I can't make it as if we play these guys every week, or we play them in the playoffs. Let's take that. They beat us in the regular season. We play them in the playoffs. I can't just say that the Niners are going to beat on us because they whooped us in Philadelphia. I can't say that.
Yeah.
That's why when I ask you about how we lose, it's like, yo, okay, but look, man, I'm a hell of a player. You play better than me today, and you won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because A.J. Brown is like that,
yeah,
right?
No doubt.
And he had a quiet game. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we have another.
He had 114.
Yeah, but the how it went. 114, that's cool, but how the 14 went. And I think in a prime time game, I think he'll show out a different way. Jalen Hurts, another one. He didn't play really well that game. I think in another circumstance, another game, right, the playoffs, I think he would play better. So that's what I'm saying. When you look at the score, I don't look at the score because they lost the game. That's it. But you can't tell me that they played again that they definitely going to win just because of the way they lost.
But that is what I'm trying to say. It's been like that all season. Nobody on the Philadelphia Eagles has played at their best but A.J. Brown. It's been like
and
that all season. I understand
you've been
that,
rocking with
but it's not,
you've been
it's not
with
changing, though, is but what I'm saying. So for me, that is habits. That's who you are 13 weeks into the season. It's not changing. Yes, you've been winning. That's why it covered up a lot. And we said that on the show. You're winning, but it's covered up a lot. Your quarterback started the season 7 interceptions, 7 touchdowns. Nobody was playing well, and they were escaping. Now they playing
this is what I don't get. You saying all that, right? And this is all facts. But you were the same person that was saying they're the best team in football.
Because they were finding ways to win, and I'm the same person that said it was going to catch up to them.
So if you say that they're the best team in football because they're finding ways to win, so if they're playing the same way they've been playing, they lost.
Yes.
Right? I expect the Eagles to just go the whole year with just one loss. That's hard as hell.
No doubt.
So what I'm saying is if they play the Niners on another situation, another playoff game, and they've been playing the same way they're playing all year.
The Niners going to beat them down again.
Hold on. But you just said that they could have a chance to win that game because they've been doing it all year. How we know
listen to me.
You get what I'm saying? How we know that they can't win like that? They've been doing it all year. And you've been saying they're the best team in football.
You're changing my stuff up. I said they were in the best team in football last week. I absolutely said that. I also said that this team has not been playing good football, but they're finding ways to win, and it's going to catch up with them. If they meet the 49ers in the playoffs again, and they play in the same way they play this whole season, the Niners are going to beat them down again. If they go respond to the Cowboys and they look like the Philly team that we are all waiting for them to look like over these 13 weeks, then I would say, yes, they're going to have a better chance because they're playing better football.
What if we play the same way we played all
year? Then you're going to get blown out.
What if the same way we played all year and then we win the game? Then what?
That's not going to happen, Shady, and that's why I say that's false confidence.
You see what I'm saying? Why not? Because it happens all year, and you've been saying we're the best team in football.
Shady.
You get what I'm saying?
That's false confidence,
But the way he's giving this take, he can never be wrong. We play the way we play, right? And we're the best team in football, what he said. But now he's saying, but then the way they're playing, you know, they're going to get smoked again.
Shady,
that don't make sense to me.
If going up and down like this and going to beat the Niners, you have false confidence. It's not realistic.
It's kind of funny.
They got to switch up the way they play, Shady.
You know I do my counsel twice a week, right?
I need to go with you because,
You could if you want to. Yeah. That's fine. The thing is, right? She don't know me for Kenny Payton, right? And she'll just say something back to me. I'm like, yeah, what you mean? She said, LaShawn, this is what you said. James, I'm not making this up, bro. This is what you told us in America.
I did.
So
I said they were the best team
like
in football.
You like protected on both sides.
You said they was the best team in football. She said they was the best team in football.
Let me ask you.
They not this week.
Is the difference that the only team, because here's where I stand in the middle of y'all. The only team in my mind that could exploit the Eagles
was the Niners. That was what I always said. And I think the Eagles can get away with it until they play somebody who's just as good talent-wise and just as good, if not better.
See, Acho, I'm coming from when we were 15-1. When we were 15-1, we were looking just like the Philadelphia Eagles. Like this, finding ways to win games. In the locker room, we knew, like, man, we're not playing our best football. Eventually, it is going to catch up with us. And we like, oh, the next game is going to change. The next game, it's going to change. We're going to beat the Green Bay Pack. The next game, it never changed. And when we got in the playoffs, we got beat playing the same football. It does not change overnight as much as you want it to.
Why'd you get beat in the playoffs but 15-1 in the regular season? What was it about the – like, how did that happen? Because I think that's the point Shady's
making. Now we're in the playoffs consistently playing the best of the best. It's not you playing the 2-10 Kansas City Chiefs or the – whoever else is losing out there, the Washington Commanders. It's not. You playing really good football teams in the playoffs. So for me, consistently, the Eagles have not showed us all year that they play consistently at a high level.
This is where we're flip-flopping because they have beaten good teams.
Four of them.
Like, they have. But those are good teams that they're beating. Whether they're playing the right way or not, they're beating the good teams.
Right.
It's not like they have one good win. They're beating the good teams. The good team they didn't beat was the team that we all felt was capable of exploiting a good team because they have been beating good teams that way.
Right.
So if we're going to talk about who they beat, let's talk about who they beat. And let's talk about who these other good teams have beaten.
I don't care about who they beat. I care about how they are looking.
No, we just said that, though. We just said that you're going to play good teams in the playoffs. Those are playoff teams.
They are playoff teams.
So I don't disagree with you. The Eagles look terrible this weekend. Awful. It was an awful, awful blowout, and they need to put their foot down convincingly in a game. And they might get an opportunity to do that this weekend, or they might get exploited the same way that the Niners did. We'll find out. But when we're talking about a panic, there's got to be more than 1 week of evidence that everything is falling apart.
It's 13.
I just know this, man. Josh, before you go to break, just know this.
Hurry up, go to break, because I got to. We're going to have Slimmer here Monday. You'll be right here next to me. Right?
See?
We're a great team.
Nope.
It's when we lose like that.
Let's go to Dak Prescott. When we return, we have to talk about Dak Prescott, who actually currently is the MVP favorite. And the Cowboys are talking contract extension. Does Dak Prescott deserve to be the highest paid player in football? And does Vegas have it right? Is Dak currently the MVP? We're giving you the best topics in sports on hopefully what you consider the best show. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel on Sirius XM.
Yes, I mean, we need to start.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, family, we are in second and short, but this might be the most important topic of the day. Dak Prescott has ascended to number one, according to Vegas, in the MVP odds, in large part because the Cowboys have won four straight games. Get this, he leads the league in passing touchdowns. To the surprise of most people on television as we come on camera, Dak Prescott is the favorite to win MVP. Right now, he is, obviously. James Jones, let's ask the question on television that we talked about at length before the show. Has Dak looked like the MVP this season?
Yes. From game one to game 13. Dak Prescott is playing lights out, man. However we want to look at it, however we want to slice it and dice it, Dak Prescott is playing lights out football. When we turn the tape on, at least consistently these last 7-8 weeks, we've been saying, look at that play by Dak Prescott. Look at that throw by Dak Prescott. His team is winning football games. Dak Prescott right now is playing at the highest level at the quarterback position out of anybody. And when you talk about the MVP race, we all know that is going to be a quarterback that gets this thing. That's just how it is. And Dak Prescott right now is the hottest quarterback in football. And he's earning it. And the blessing about it is he has a tough schedule coming up. He's going to have an opportunity to play against a lot of good quarterbacks that are in the MVP conversation. And he has an opportunity to truly, truly earn this thing. You know what I'm saying? But right now, when you turn the tape on and you watch the Dallas Cowboys, you can't help but say Dak Prescott is playing really good football. Look at that play by Dak Prescott, whether it's with his legs, whether it's with his arms. That is what we are seeing from Dak Prescott. He's playing at the highest level I truly believe that he's played in his career under Coach Mike McCarthy. And he's balling right now. We got to give Dak the respect that he's earned this season. And he should be number one in the MVP race.
Yeah, we talked about before the weekend that the MVP race could flip depending on how the weekend went because of how Dak played in that game.
Of course.
Against Seattle. And obviously, Jalen did not have a great game, and they got blown out, so that didn't help. We just watched what happened with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, so that didn't help their MVP cases. So that's where we are right now. And Brock Purdy's in the conversation as well, and it's all become much tighter based off of how this weekend went. And it's a week-to-week league, and there's a lot more football to play. It's December, so it feels like the season's over, but there are still a lot of games left to play. Dak's going to have the opportunity to earn this MVP.
Yeah.
He has a stretch of really good opponents coming up, and that if he can keep up the pace that he's had since week six, because if you actually look at the numbers before that, It's not an MVP. It's not an MVP season. And you can say that about several quarterbacks this year, which is why this race is so tight and is so week to week. And it's why it's so hotly debated, because normally we have a pretty good idea by this point in the season who one and two is. And we're not really arguing about whether or not those guys are deserving of the MVP. This is a different year. It's been more defensive forward. You have a guy like Tyreek Hill that is on pace to do something historical that no one has ever done in the history of the league.
Oh, gosh.
And I think he's probably the only guy that we all agree should be truly in the conversation. And if he does that, we'll probably end up winning it and deserve it. I think there's a sliding scale this year for what the MVP is. What's the statistic that's going to set them over the edge? Is it going to be win losses? Is it going to be overall record? Is it going to be winning the conference? It's going to be close. But what I do know is after week six, because we can look at the statistics that Dak was putting up before that, it's nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. After week six, he has been playing the best football of his life. He has been spectacular. He's looked like the best quarterback in the league. But now he has a chance to go out and actually remove all doubt.
No doubt about it. 2-5. You think Dak Prescott has looked like an MVP this season?
I'm going to say no. I think Dak Prescott is playing the best football right now as a quarterback. Right now, yeah, for sure. But when we talk about MVP, like, the last couple MVPs that win was Patrick Mahomes, was Aaron Rodgers twice, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
When I think of that MVP award, that's like the best player on the team, best player in the league. Mm-hmm. When I look at Dak, I don't see that. He's playing well right now, right? And these quarterbacks, they playing good against bad teams and good teams. And if we talk about this, being honest about the schedule and who he's played, in his first six games, you know them numbers. I don't even want to talk about that. So we must be talking about the last six games we're talking about.
Whole season. Just go
ahead. We can't talk the whole season because he hasn't been great the whole season. The last six games, he's been on fire, right? Mm-hmm. He hasn't had 300. I think his first 300-yard game was like week 8, 9, something like that. Mm-hmm. So he just started cooking. Cool. But my thing is, when you look at the winning teams he's played, he's 0-2 against them. It is. If we're going to talk about the freaking Seahawks.
Keep going.
Yeah, it's like, come on. I can't really take the Seahawks too serious. They're 6-5 for a reason. Dak Prescott's doing these things against the Niners, right? Continues to do these things against the Eagles and win them games. I got to put him up there. But right now, for me, when I think of an MVP, I'm thinking the best player in football, the most viable. That's Tyreek Hill to me. The stuff he's doing, he's on pace to, what, 2,000 and something yards, 2,100? That's special to me. That's MVP type. That's something like, without him, I don't think the Dolphins can even win games. We've seen the Cowboys win games without Dak Prescott, right? And I think he's a hell of a player. He's playing well right now. But when we talk about the MVP, I can't put him up there. If it's my pick, because I'm not letting some computer geeks tell me who should be the MVP. Think about it. Every time you see the favorites and not the favorites, it's all quarterbacks. Everyone's a quarterback. And this year, quarterbacks is not dominating. Dak, none of them lose the Super just dominating from week one to right now. When I look at Tyreek Hill as a wide receiver, he changes the game, not only for his team, but for the league. He's about to set some records that we've never seen before. So you ask me who my MVP, I'm going with Tyreek Hill.
It's just, I don't know, man. I think Dak Prescott just gets some shade, man. I do. You know what I mean?
You said shade or shady?
I do. Shade. Well, I should have said shade. I think Dak Prescott just gets some shade, man. I think what he's doing this football season, people just trying to slide it under the rug. You know what I'm saying? And that ain't fair to Dak Prescott. And it's really unfair to when we try to compare the quarterbacks. We can't compare the quarterbacks. We can never turn on the TV on Fox Sunday and say, I want Dak Prescott to look like Patty Mahomes.
Oh, but never say that.
Or,
I want
Dak Prescott to look like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
So you can't compare it to the person. Oh. So then you got to go to the numbers. Then you got to go to the wins. Dak Prescott is on pace to have a really good MVP season if he delivers in this stretch. But what he's been doing up to this stretch, he has been delivering. Every quarterback in this season has went through their ups and downs. Dak Prescott has been the best quarterback in the National Football League this season. Point blank, period. And I know, trust me, I'm a receiver. I wish we could give it to Tyreek Hill, you know, but it's going to be hard for Reek to get that as well, too. Tua got to throw it to him. The offensive line got to block. It's a lot of things that got to happen. With these quarterbacks, the ball is in their hands every single play, Shady. So that's why they always have the best opportunity to win this thing. And everybody that looks at football knows that the quarterback position is the most valuable.
I hear that.
If you don't have a good quarterback, you don't really win, even if you got a bunch of good people around.
When I look at the MVP, I look at who's special, right? Who's special having a special year? That's what MVP is.
And I look at Tyreek Hill, he's a special player. He's having a special year.
No doubt.
When I look at the MVP, I look at, like, superstar. I look at potential Hall of Famer. I look at all that. I can't.
What if the Dolphins end up winning the AFC?
Winning the AFC?
Yeah. What if they win the AFC? No, like, this is a regular season award. What if they're the best team in the AFC at the end of the year?
Good question.
And Reek gets to 2,000?
Yes.
Then we need to be handing Reek. We should all go deliver Reek his MVP trophy.
Okay, so then why can't we say at this point in the season, with the amount of football that we have left to watch, which is significant, this stretch where Dak is going to play the best teams that they have played all year, he will have an opportunity to shut everyone up. You said it yourself. You're tired of everybody making these pitches. Everybody's talking about my guy's this, my guy's that. Go play.
No doubt.
Show greatness. What we've seen from Dak Prescott this year has been very, very good. Where I think the rub is, and the shade I don't get. Like, I don't have, when I'm not talking personally about anyone. I don't have the ability in this role to I have to separate art from artists. Like, Dak being a good person, of course he's a good person. Mm-hmm. He is great. He is great for the league. He's a great face of the league. He does great commercials. He's an excellent representation for the biggest brand in all of sports in the entire world, which is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't have any agenda at all. When I'm saying that the MVP, what I think about the MVP, I think about an MVP, I think greatness. Like, great. Like, you are the best player of 1% of 1%ers, of dogs, of everybody. You left no doubt. Well, if there's this much conversation, I think there's a reason why there's this much conversation. That's all I'm saying. So at this point in the season, should he be leading the MVP race? Yes. And now, thankfully, to the football gods, we have the opportunity for him to go and really remove all doubt. And Tyreek Hill has the opportunity, and Brock Purdy has an opportunity, and Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. Because at this point in the season, we have similar resumes when it comes to quarterbacks. Brock Purdy had 3 terrible games. Jalen Hurts has not played at the highest level consistently all season long. He's not had one shutdown game that we can name, but he's been consistent and the team is winning and we know they're winning because of him. Tyreek Hill is on pace to do something we've never seen before, and the Dolphins have the best record in the AFC. So everybody has an opportunity right now. Why is that shady?
Right. I don't necessarily think it's shady. What I think is shady is to say that Dak doesn't look like an MVP. I believe this season that Dak Prescott looks like an MVP. Now, for clarity, just for the viewers at home, y'all may not know, there are 50 voters. So when Shady says, I think the MVP is this, and Joy says, I think the MVP is that, and James says, I think the MVP is this, and Acho says, I think the MVP is that, there's a reason there are 50 voters, because how Shady thinks MVP and Joy thinks MVP and Acho and James is all different things.
No doubt.
Now, I think Dak looks like an MVP the year, MVP player Dak looks like this season, because I'm thinking about who were MVPs in years past. Sometimes the MVP is not always a huge recognizable name from year to year. I think about Matt Ryan's 2016 MVP season. The Atlanta Falcons were 11-5. It's not the greatest record we'd ever seen before. Matt Ryan, I believe, had 39 touchdowns to 7 interceptions for the totality of the season. Dak Prescott this year is on pace for 40 touchdowns and 8 turnovers. When I think about Aaron Rodgers in 2021 versus Dak Prescott this season, through 13 weeks, they're incredibly comparable. 3,400 yards for Dak, 2,900 yards for Rodgers. 28 touchdowns for Dak, 26 touchdowns for Rodgers. 6 turnovers for Dak, 4 touchdowns for Rodgers. So Dak quite literally is on pace for an MVP caliber season as it pertains to statistics. Now, Aaron Rodgers did win his division. But if Dak Prescott wins on Sunday, he will be leading his division on Monday. There are obviously several caveats throughout the duration of the season. So I think Dak Prescott looks like an MVP, but he has to go on the field and prove it the rest of the season. Coming up, we've been talking a lot about Tyreek Hill. Let's go into the film room and show you all why Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa are leading the AFC. It's not luck, it's not chance, and it definitely ain't happenstance. There are particular details that Tua and Tyreek are seeing in a manner that nobody else is seeing, and we have to let you, the viewer at home, see it for yourself. That's next on Speed.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Tyreek Hill, Tua Tagovailoa, they have a crazy amount of trust in one another. Now, there was a play, James Jones, that was highly deliberated by many media personnel. Tyreek, he ran the wrong route, but Tua threw the perfect ball. First, we want to let you all hear the sound, then bring y'all into the film room to break it down.
I thought I ran a perfect route, and I was looking this way, and I had to adjust back this way. And, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, Tua, he does a great job of throwing the ball exactly where it needs to be. And I thought he was wrong. Went back and watched the film. It's like, bro, like, you threw the ball exactly where I was supposed to be.
Now, the beautiful thing I see there is trust. Let's bring up the big board so we can talk about the tape right now. First thing I want the viewer to pay attention to, James Jones, is this middle field safety.
Yes.
Why is he so important to what they're about to see?
He's so important because you are expecting your quarterback to protect you. It is trust. As a receiver, you are running routes, and you cannot see where everybody on the field is. You know who can see where everybody on the field is? The quarterback. So you have to trust the quarterback when he throws it to you or wherever he's putting his ball is to protect you from the defender, right? Here you got a middle field safety. Tua sees it, so he's like, okay, I want Rig to keep this skinny post really, really skinny so I can protect him from that safety.
Okay, understood. Now, as Tyreek starts to run this route, he starts to lean inside towards this middle field safety. Why is he doing that?
So pause, keep it paused right there. You see that ball is already gone?
Yep.
That football is already gone, right? So he's expecting Rig to keep this angle down those numbers. Tua's throwing this thing with anticipation. So the ball's been gone a second ago as Reek was on this course right here to go down them numbers. Tua sees the safety. So to protect my guy so he does not take a big-time shot, I want to keep this thing down in numbers because I know Tyreek Hill is going to outrun this corner that he's going against.
Okay,
right
now
here.
At the last moment, Tyreek Hill has to flip back around and turn it back to the numbers because Tua Tagovailoa is trying to protect him. That's what you're telling
me. No question. And this right here is why Shady and Joy want this young fella right here, Tyreek Hill, to win MVP because not too many people can do this and track this football right here. That's why they throw this ball at the combine right here. You know, because it's tough to track. Even though that you are running as fast as Reek is running, it is a tough football to track. But Tua's throwing that thing down in numbers to protect him. And one thing they always say for the world, you run the wrong route, you get the football. That's it. that's football. That's what they say. But this is big time trust. This is big time chemistry. And this is excellent by Tua throwing this thing with anticipation, protecting one of the MVP candidates.
My dog, I appreciate that. Now, what's interesting is Tua and Tyreek, they trust each other. But the question is, do we trust the Dolphins? Joy, the Dolphins have still yet to beat a team, I believe, with a winning record. Though they beat the Broncos, smashed the Broncos may have an even 500 record. I don't recall off the top of my head. But have you regained your trust, your full, complete, blind faith in the Miami Dolphins?
When you put it like that, I trust the Dolphins a little bit more. I agree they still need to go out and remove all doubt, and they're unfortunately not going to get really the opportunity to do that until the end of the season because they have Dallas at home, they're at the Ravens, and then they have the Bills at home to finish the season. The next game is against the Titans, and then they have the New York Jets. So obviously those are teams that we don't think too much of, but what they have been able to do against bad teams is the same thing that Dallas has been doing this year against bad teams, which is beating them down, leaving absolutely no doubt. You're not in the same space. You're not on this level. Thank you for showing up today and earning your check. You can now go home with a very serious L. And I do like that the Dolphins have been consistent in that all year. The numbers that they're putting up are incredible, particularly with Tyreek Hill, which is why we're talking about him in the MVP race. 1,481 receiving yards, almost 300 more than any other player this season. It's more than any other player in their first 12 games in the Super Bowl era. And he has 2 60-yard touchdowns this Sunday. That's the 20th and 21st of his career. Only DeSean Jackson, D-Jack, and Jerry Rice have more. Those are two pretty good receivers. He's having an MVP season at the receiver position, in part because of Tua, in part because of Mike McDaniel and the way that they have this offense, and because he is brilliant. So if they can do that against the teams at the end of the season, that will put them in that category of a team that we can absolutely trust going into the postseason. But regardless, they've had an incredible regular season beating the teams that they're supposed to beat.
2-5, where you stand on the Miami Dolphins? They earn your trust.
You know, I've always had trust in the Dolphins. Same way I look at the Cowboys, trusting them. We would like to see them beat some of the better teams, and when they'll get a chance to do that. But I just can't get over the fact that, like, what we see is what we see. They are a good team. And I look at, like, a loss to the Eagles. Eagles are a good team. They lost to a good team. That happens. But when you look at, like, contenders, if I told you that the Dolphins can win the AFC, right, and be a contender for Super Bowl, you would believe that. Because they are a good team.
Right.
And you talked about Tyreek Hill. That's why I love the MVP for him, is because, like, the stuff he's doing is – that's historical stuff right there. The guy has 1,400 yards, 93 catches, 12 touchdowns. Come on. That's special.
It is.
And I hate to even go back to the MVP thing, but, like, when we talk about these different MVP type of candidates, like, that's really balling.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? And that's – I feel like the way he's playing, he's separating himself from everybody else. Yeah. So to ask me that, are they – a team that I trust, I truly do. I want to see more from them. Like, I want to see more from my Eagles. I want to see more from the Cowboys. The only team I can see right now that's really dominating in the fashion is the Niners. They playing good teams. They beating them by a nice margin.
Let me ask you this, because I'm fascinated by your thought process. Obviously, I differ in it, and it frustrates you at times, but I'm curious. What did the fact that the Dolphins have lost to the three best teams they've played, how does that move your opinion? And does it move your opinion?
So I look at things like Jalen Ramsey coming back, right? Since he's been back, they've been ranked the number 2 defense in football. So now I look at, okay, offensively, we know what they got, right? We know what they got. Then you look at the defense. Now, when I have 2 lockdown corners, the same way that the Cowboys had that, same way that we look at Bland and we look at Gilmore, the same thing with the Dolphins. You could do so many different things now. We want to blitz more. We want to play different coverages. You can do that. And I feel like if I look at just the personnel, I look at the coaching, and I look at the players, and I put that group in the playoffs, that's a scary team to play.
It is.
Even if the Dolphins have lost all the 3 good teams, as a group, you put them in the playoffs, that's a scary team to play against.
It is.
They have all them
but
different dimensions.
I still need, because I want to understand this from LeSean McCoy's perspective. Jalen Ramsey was there when they played the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I think they could have and should have beat the Chiefs. Yeah. I think that was the second game back. First game was the Patriots. But when they played the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Bills, the offense has still looked pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
I think 20 points against the Bills.
Shut the Chiefs out of the second half.
I think 14 or something against the Chiefs. They still lose, and the offense looks pedestrian.
Yep.
They're still losing. Yep. Are they scary? I agree, but they're losing. Does it not change your opinion at all that they're losing the three best games?
I would like to see more. Yeah, I would love to see more. I guess for that test you're asking, I would love to see more. But what I'm saying is, when you get in that playoffs, right, there's no tomorrow.
You know, you lose a regular season game, you're blown out, cool. You got tomorrow to look at. And the playoffs is none of that. It's either win or you go home. And when I think of matchups, Andy Reid, he used to always talk about matchups, right? No matter how good this team is, where are the matchups at? The DN versus that tackle, right? The running back versus that linebacker. The tight end versus that safety. That wide receiver versus that corner. And when I look at this team, the speed, the smarts, and that coach, McDaniels, like when I look at that, you put that in the playoffs, that's a scary team to face. Yeah. And nobody wants to play a scary team. A scary team and a super physical team. Those are two teams you do not want to play in the playoffs.
Dwight, I want your input on this one because I hear Shady and I understand where Shady's at, but you as a Dolphins fan who know, have watched more Dolphins fan than maybe anybody on national television, how does the fact that they are a scary team, of course they are, but the Bills weren't scared, the Chiefs weren't scared, and the Eagles weren't scared, albeit regular season, I'm acknowledging that. So how does the fact that they did lose all three of those games, like how does that factor into where you put the Dolphins in the hierarchy of legitimacy?
Well, I mean, I think the Eagles and the Chiefs have a bit more equity during the regular season than the Dolphins do. That's why I say that I don't get too concerned about week to week with the Cowboys, with the Chiefs, with the Eagles, with the Niners, because they have equity that they can lose during the regular season and still win in the postseason. The Dolphins have yet to prove that, but the Dolphins are doing the same thing essentially that the Cowboys have done. Now, they need to beat some better teams down the stretch and look at the opportunity to do that. But I say that kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth because, again, like Shady said, they get to the postseason, all this regular season, who'd you beat, blah, blah, doesn't matter. It really comes down to what you do in the postseason. Now, the difference from the Dolphins and those other teams is the Dolphins haven't had the opportunity to do that in the postseason. So I think we want to see more from them during the regular season in the space of beating good teams. We've seen the Cowboys take losses during the regular season and still go to the postseason and win. We've seen the Eagles do that. We've seen the Niners do that. We've seen the Chiefs do that. The reason why no one panicked about that Colts loss last year. Why? Because it's the Chiefs. We ain't going to flip out because the Chiefs lost to the Colts even if they look bad. We know what they're capable of doing, and we know that they can overcome that and play well in the postseason. So I trust that they have the capability of doing what we watch them do on the field. Now they just have to go out there and prove it.
But what about the fact that we haven't watched them do it against good teams? Like, that's the wrestle I have between y'all two is, like, I hear everything y'all are saying, but, like, We haven't.
No, we haven't. You can't argue that that's a fact.
Do you feel the same way about the Cowboys?
1,000%.
Yeah. So this is my
Dolphins
thing.
Dolphins and Cowboys, to me, are in the same place.
And this is coming from an Eagle fan, right? Or all-time leading rushing Eagles history. I like hearing that. Anyway, but to be honest, like, a team like the Cowboys, and I know Dak's playing great right now, so it helps up my case even more, but that's a scary team in the playoffs.
Question.
They got everything. They got talent on both sides of the ball. They have elite talent on both sides of the ball, right? They haven't beat good teams, but they are a scary team to play against in the playoffs to prepare for them. The Dolphins, you look at them in the playoffs, they are a scary team to prepare for. So even though they haven't won these regular season games, because there's no real pressure right now. Yes, you lost all the good teams. You lost them. Cool. You have tomorrow to think about. Hey, we lost, man. Hey, bring it down. We're going to play harder. We'll see you next week, right? And it's none of that in the playoffs.
Family on three.
Right? Family on three. And I think that when you get to the playoffs, like, everything's on your mind. Yeah. The margin of error is so small. So now when I get beat by Tyreek Hill, it's not okay, right? Because you get beat the rest of the season. Hey, you get it next time, bro. Hey, he fast. You know that's what Reek do.
He's fast.
Not in the playoffs.
No doubt.
And every little thing matters. So when I think about the matchups, and I think about the pressure. I put the pressure with the matchup together. Because now, it ain't just playing the Dolphins that can't beat the good teams. It's playing a scary Dolphins team in the playoffs. Because 0-0 in the playoffs. Yeah. That's the only thing why I look at them and the Cowboys, that they're a scary team to play against.
And I hear everything you're saying, but you can't trust them. Just like you can't trust the Cowboys, right? We are waiting for the Cowboys to dominate a good football team. We are waiting for the Dolphins to dominate a good football team. That's why this weekend is so important for Dak and Dallas. You know, the Miami Dolphins are the same way. When we talk about star power, you could put the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Miami Dolphins up there with the best of them. But you can't trust them because trust is who you are consistently. Consistently, when they play the really good football teams like the Cowboys, they don't find a way to win. Point blank, period. So, for me, you cannot trust them from that standpoint. I agree with you, Shady. If the Miami Dolphins win the AFC and they wind up in the Super Bowl, we wouldn't be surprised because of the talent they have. If the Dallas Cowboys go on a stretch and they get to the Super Bowl, we wouldn't be surprised because of the talent that they have. But we also wouldn't be surprised if they took L's.
Yeah, that's what I
see. Because of what they have shown
but
us.
I would be surprised. That's why
With the Dolphins or the Cowboys?
Yeah, I love the Dolphins. I love the Dolphins. But if the Dolphins lose to the Ravens, like say the Dolphins make the playoffs and don't beat a team with the winning record all season, I, America, will be surprised. Call me out, tweet this out, cut this out, do whatever you want to do with it. If the Dolphins don't beat a team with the winning record all regular season, go into the playoffs and win the Super Bowl, I will be surprised. If the Cowboys don't beat a team with the winning record all season, or outside of the Seattle Seahawks, go to the playoffs and win the Super Bowl, I personally will be surprised, but only because I look at who you are. If you lost all those meaningful games, how am I now going to believe you're going to go win four straight? Me personally.
But for me, though, surprised is what the Green Bay Packers just did to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a surprise. When the Miami Dolphins take the football field, we surprised if they beat anybody with what they got?
No.
That's all I'm saying. So if you lose to all these teams in the regular season, and yes, we're going to talk about them like we can't trust them because they ain't beat no good teams, but we're not going to be surprised if they get in and make a run.
Real quick, so if we look at all the, even like a lot of the different champions or playoff runs, there's a lot of teams that I won't say they played great in the regular season, but in the playoffs, they was a scary group.
Right here.
You know what I'm saying?
Right here.
What year was that when Niners whooped on y'all like that?
It was two years.
2012. What year were they, though?
2012, I think 2013.
Jimmy G. Kaepernick. He threw for 80 yards.
Yeah, and they beat us at the crib.
I was surprised about that. But then when I thought about it, I'm
like, shady.
But listen, I'm being serious. When I thought about it, I'm like, yo, you know what? That's a scary team to play against. Yeah. They super crazy physical, right? And they gonna play great defense. That's how they win games. I mean, they're not going to beat Aaron Rodgers, MVP Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And they did. And when I think about it, about this take I was talking about,
it's all the way up. Huh?
Sorry about that. But it's all about the matchups. It's all about a scary team. That Niners, they were a scary team, bro. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying the Niners is going to win a Super Bowl. Or not Niners, but the Dolphins. But they are that good, and they are that scary that they could.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, when we return, let's figure out who is the best team in football.
The Eagles?
Now that games have been played,
I'm joking.
It's time for the power rankings. Where does your team line
up?
We're going to get through all the latest pick six of the NFL rankings. Come back to see who is number one and the surprising number two. That's next on Speed.
Are we two at least?
Are we three?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hi, family. I'm a defender, so you know it's all about a pick six for me. Well, let's pick the six best teams in football as it stands right now. And boy, has there been some shakeup. Not at number six, though. Miami Dolphins. They are still in the spot they were last week. They got another win, a very dominant win versus Washington. Embarrassed that defensive coordinator in his first game as a DC. I feel bad for him. But the Dolphins, nonetheless, they're at six. At number five, the Chiefs. They had to move down a spot, y'all, because they lost and fairly convincing fashion in Lambeau Field to the Green Bay Packers. At number four, the Dallas Cowboys, they are slowly but surely climbing. I get it. They had beat the Panthers. I get it. They had beat the Commanders. They had beat the Giants. But after beating the Seahawks, Pro Bowl secondary players, all pro secondary players, and Dak Prescott cooked, Cowboys had to climb. At number three, Philadelphia Eagles, they descend. You can understand why. A 42-19 loss at home, Lincoln Financial Field. It was the biggest loss of Nick Sirianni's career when he played his starting quarterback and second biggest loss of his career in totality. That has to count for something. Two best teams in football. Number two, Baltimore Ravens. Defensively and offensively, they are top notch. When you think about their scoring defense and their scoring offense, hard to stop, hard to beat. And number one, there should be no argument, there should be no discussion, there should be no debate, and you won't hear one from me. Bang, bang, it's Niner gang. Shout out to the Niners, Brock Purdy, Fred Warner. Finally, our graphics are correct. You can see Fred Warner there because he is the facial representation of the San Francisco 49ers, at least on this show. These are the six best teams in football today. But the beauty of the sport, you ain't got no idea about tomorrow. When we return, the defending champs upset by the Packers, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs. Is it panic time? Can they get back on track? Is the Super Bowl just a dream at this point? We got to break down their issues, and if they can fix them, that's next.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Had to bring y'all back in the film room with my dog, James Jones, because the Chiefs, James, took a shocking, yes, to me, loss to the Packers. Yes. But in large part, it's because their receivers are very confused at oftentimes. Now, first, I want to show you what good receiver play looks like.
Hold on really quick, though. Yep. Hold on really quick
before
we go.
I'm holding.
Listen, the main thing that we are taught at receivers is you have to stack the defensive back. Why do you have to stack the defensive back? Come to me, Acho,
real quick.
The viewers at home. This right here is not stacking. If you're throwing me the ball, is this a good play for you, a quarterback, to see open?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
But if I stack Acho, now look what the quarterback sees.
Got you.
Wide open touchdown. That is what you are taught since day one, and this is why Reek is so special, because he does these little
things. Patrick Mahomes misses Tyreek Hill. This is Tyreek Hill doing it excellently. He's going to stack the defensive back. We're going to teach you something and show you why it matters here in a moment. Mm. Okay, Tyreek, boom. He beats him.
Pause it right there.
He beats him, and you see he's inside leverage, but he knows I have to stack this dude for Tua and get back to these numbers.
Now, he has to get back to the numbers because you want to get as far away from the middle of the field safety as possible. The middle of the field safety is looking to take your head off as that wide receiver. So Tyreek Hill, not only does he beat him, but you're going to see he starts to work outside. That is pivotal to your eyes at home as a viewer. He'll work back outside.
Pause right there.
Boom.
Look at what Tua is seeing. Even though this ball is gone, look at what Tua is seeing. That's wide open in the National Football League.
Okay.
That's really an easy throw for a quarterback because of the work that the receiver did and letting him see that he's open.
Here is what I want you at home to pay most attention to if you see nothing else. Look at where the ball lands. The ball is on the numbers. That is pivotally important. Ooh. I'm not going to let the rest of this play run. Now I'm going to get to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He is who is supposed to be the speed demon for the Chiefs. He is who does it wrong on this play. James Jones, break down what is now going to occur on this play.
So it's kind of similar. Pause right there.
Boom.
See the safety in the middle of the field?
Yep.
You know who else sees him? Patty Mahomes. Patty Mahomes sees him. You know who doesn't see him? MVS, this is one of those plays to where you need to understand the coverage before the ball is snapped. And when the ball is snapped, sometimes the coverage may change, and your eyes have to be up to see the coverage so you can change your route. If his eyes is not looking back at Patrick Mahomes right here, he's looking back like it's a bang post. This is a skinny post. A bang post is caught at about 20 yards. A skinny post is caught at about 35 to 40 yards down the football
field. Now, the difference between this play and last play, when Tyreek Hill won, he worked back outside. But MBS on this play, he keeps it inside towards that middle field safety who we are desperately trying to avoid. Incomplete pass. But if you remember, and I got to run it back, where does Patrick Mahomes throw this football, James Jones?
Down the numbers. He is expecting him to do what Tyreek Hill just did. I think he played with Tyreek Hill too. Yes, he did, right? So he's expecting MVS to do what Tyreek Hill did. Now you went inside. Now stack him. Get back to those numbers so I can keep you away from the safety.
And you can see the frustration by Patrick Mahomes, a two-time MVP right there. So my question coming to you first, Shady, you won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody on national television doing daily TV can say that. Can the Chiefs fix these issues? Can the Chiefs fix their issues, the wide receiver woes? Can it be done this year in time for another Super Bowl?
I think so, right? I think it's a matter of just adjustments. And I'm surprised to see MVS still playing as much. I know one thing about Andy Reid, if you're not getting better each week, right, and you see he sees a decline, he normally moves on from that player. And I thought I would see maybe more Rice, maybe more Kadarius, Tony, even more Sky Moore, but we haven't been seeing that. So the wide receiver's got to help him out, point blank period. Patrick Mahomes, he gets up there every week, and he takes a lot of the blame as a true quarterback does. But we all know that's all not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
They're running the ball extremely well. They're playing solid defense. We need the young wide receivers to make plays, right? And I think even with MVS, it's really not his fault because he knew who he was. And the same thing with Green Bay. He had a lot of inconsistent play, and then he had a lot of drops. And what did they do? They benched him. That's what happened in Green Bay. So I'm just confused on, like,
why they not making no more adjustments, giving other players another chance? I guess money does matter, yeah, right? Money matter.
When you make it $10 million a year, you got to try it out there sometimes.
And that's true. I just think Andy's more on, like, he does the money thing, but he's all about winning. So I'm just curious to see why they haven't changed up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they are third in scoring defense. They're allowing 17.3 points per game.
It's pretty good.
It's really good.
It's really, really, really
good. So if they can fix whatever this issue is, what more can you ask for?
Get to 18.
You can get to 18 points, you're going to beat everybody. Like, that's what the defense is providing for you. I think the issue with the Chiefs is this year, this is not the Chiefs' identity, winning through defense, not scoring a bunch of points, not taking advantage of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's brilliance. So whatever the adjustment needs to be, that needs to be made to take advantage of that and get back to the DNA of what this team is, they need to figure that out. Can they figure that out? Is it a talent issue? Is it a communication issue? Is it a simplifying the offense for these receivers issue? I don't know. But if there's two individuals that I'm going to trust in the NFL, it's going to be Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to catch me flying the Chiefs are over banner. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ride with this partnership until the wheels fall off, because I've seen them do it before. And again, the defense is playing so well that if they can figure this out, who are you trusting more than the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm not saying that the Kansas City Chiefs are not going to win football games, because, I mean, they possibly could turn this over and run the football, run the air out of the football. I don't know. Andy Reid may come up with something to win some football games. But they're not fixing this. They're not fixing this quarterback-to-receiver thing this year. This is something that's going to have to be fixed in the offseason, in OTAs, in IPWs, whatever it is that's going to, in training camp, is going to have to be fixed there. A lot of people don't understand receiver quarterback play. Every receiver is going to run it different. Aaron Rodgers knew. JJ is going to put a little sauce at the top of the route. Jordy may not put a little sauce at the top of the route. Randall is faster than all of them. He's probably going to get in and out of his break faster and get into this route faster than JJ or Greg Jennings may be. Greg Jennings is going to be nice and smooth in his route running. I know Greg is going to be where he's supposed to be. Everybody runs it different. During training camp, during OTAs and IPWs, we had to build that chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. Because as much as people want to say Andy Reid is a great play caller, which he is, you're not out-scheming everybody every play in a football game. At one point, even if it's motion, your receivers are just going to have to win. And when they do win, they're going to have to make the play. Yeah. And a lot of times they win it, and Patrick Mahomes is in front of them, behind them, because the chemistry is not there. So it changing during this football season, I don't see that happening. And these dudes might go out there and have a really good game, but if we're talking about consistently during the rest of this season, I don't see that change.
Well, we got to see what the chemistry will look like for the Jags quarterback C.J. Beathard and his wide receivers, because Christian Kirk, he's out for 8 weeks. Trevor Lawrence, he's week to week with the high ankle sprain. Does that mean the Colts or the Texans could sneak up on the Jags? How big a loss is the former number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jags, and are they in jeopardy of losing the whole dang thing? That's next on Speak.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are in a hurry-up offense, and the Jags want to hurry up and get Trevor Lawrence back on the field. High ankle sprain left the game, and then they had a crushing loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, to everybody's surprise. That's the whole world was watching. Christian Kirk, wide receiver, also out for an extended period of time. But, Joy, what's even more fascinating, or just as fascinating, the Texans having a surprisingly good season. The Colts having an even more surprisingly good season, seeing as Gardner Minshew has stepped in as their starter. Is the AFC South in jeopardy for the Trevor Lawrence-less Jacksonville Jags?
I mean, they have a pretty significant lead right now, but it could slip pretty quickly. I mean, I don't know what kind of faith you have in the Jags if Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk aren't out there. And the Colts, to your point, are having a good season. They're 7-5. They have the Bengals, the Steelers, Atlanta, the Raiders, and Houston. I almost can't read my own writing, trying to go through this list, but they have some easier teams coming up. Thank you. And then the Houston has the Jets, Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee, and the Colts to finish the season. So neither one of them really have rough stretches coming up. This is really disappointing. It's been a crazy year for quarterbacks. You got Aaron Rodgers, Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, all out for the season. 52 different quarterbacks have started a game through week 13 so far this year through 2023. It's just it's been rough. It's really disappointing. I hope he is able to get back. Just, you know, obviously we hate seeing guys go down, but we want to see the best competition, and it's really been tough.
Shady, I'm going to pivot the question for you because I know you are not the biggest fan of Trevor Lawrence's game on the football field. Who do you have more confidence in right now? Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud, obviously they've lost Tank Dell as well, or these Jacksonville Jags? Houston Texans 7-4, Jags 8-4. Who you got more confidence?
You know what? I mean, even the Colts, like all these teams are so close, right? This division is it's a tight division. So I'm not really sure knowing what that injury is with Trevor Lawrence. And then even the Texans, they've been playing really well. I don't know how well they'll do now with Dale not being there because he's a big part of the offense. But they got a really young team that's really, really good. Coached by D'Amico Ryan, who's a really, really good coach. And then
you got
even,
more confidence in them?
It's a toss-up. Like, C.J. Stroud's the best quarterback to ever play at Ohio State. And he's a rookie. Like, think about that. Like, stuff he's doing with the Texans. And then the Colts. They find a way to win. So, I mean, this division is up in the air. You know what the cool thing is? I didn't expect this division to be that tough.
No.
Yeah.
Right? I thought the Jags just run off with it.
Run away with it. Yeah, no doubt. No, I mean, when I look at this, I mean, Joy touched on it. I mean, all three of their schedules is really, really easy, you know, when you talk about them. But when you look at things like this, this is going to come down to the wire. And for me, I got to go with the best quarterback in the division right now, and that's C.J. Stroud. You know, when you watch C.J. Stroud play, it's tough to go against the Houston Texans. And D'Amico got him playing really good defense over there. So if you ask me, with this division coming down the wire, with Trevor Lawrence possibly not being there, I think the Houston Texans could possibly get up in there and win this thing. It's going to be a close race, though.
The game to watch could end up being January 7th, Texans at Colts.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a game that may just decide this division. Okay, when we return, we have some good weeks picking games. Well, some of us, some not so much. Speak standings, revealing it all. That's next on Speak.
We got to do this every week?
Every week.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
All right, everyone, we are in our two-minute drill. It's time to check out the standings. James Jones, not coincidentally, covering up the ratings. Okay, everybody went 8-5 in the pick'ems last week. But let's see where exactly we rank on the year.
How we doing? How we? Now, here you go. We adding emojis now?
Man. I cracked the hundreds. I hear y'all in my ear back. I don't want the world to see this, man.
Shady, once again, you reign supreme.
They keep having me with the
2 years in a row.
Jay, the season's not over. What do you mean 2 years in a row?
It's over. Are you serious?
It's close.
You got a 5-game lead on Joy, a 6-game lead on
Joy, right around the corner.
But we need Shady to have a down week.
Yeah. Once there are no longer bye weeks, that's when you can really make a
there
come
up. There we go.
Because
that's
right now, we're only picking 13 games.
Just ask me. I'll quit.
Family, we appreciate you watching. Could be watching. You hang with us.